Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture reading today is from Isaiah 43, 16, 21, and John 12, 1 to 8. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings our chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, squenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, the rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise. John 12, 1 through 8. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she has used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Lent is a reminder of 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness, feeling hunger, thirst, temptation. He was prepared by this journey. This Lent, prepare for Easter by giving up, by giving in. Giving in to God.
Some of you may remember that 4 bishops ago, Bishop Sano was our bishop. Now, some of the rest of you may be wondering what Methodists are doing with bishops and what is a bishop. And I would simply say, ask your pastor. That's his job. Bishop Sano was a theologian. He was always thinking and reflecting and mulling over things. And though he didn't coin this phrase, I heard it from him for the first time. "The good," he said, "is the enemy of the best. The good is the enemy of the best." And what he meant was something like this. We know how to do church well. We know how to build community well. Once we've built a church community, it takes decades to kill off a Methodist church. People just keep going and going and going. They'll even commute in. We know how to do public singing. One of the popular channels on YouTube is called Choir, Choir, Choir. How many of you know that? Y'all have homework to do. It started in a bar in Toronto during the winter before the pandemic. And the idea was that two musicians who were also choir directors would invite the people in the bar to sing a song, and they'd teach them the song. And it could be anything. And it started as, you know, 20 people singing in a bar, and now it's thousands in a stadium. They're just doing regular church. We taught them how to do that. We can feed the poor and do all kinds of emergency management. Can't say it, but when my mom died, a church member showed up at her house. She said, "I can't do much. You wouldn't want my cooking. But I can do laundry," she said. "Give me your laundry." "No underwear," Jan said. "But give her everything else." Now, the powerful thing was not simply that she did the laundry, which was a great gift, but that she didn't ask. She just knew there was a need, and she stepped into that need. We do that stuff well. For the most part, we even welcome everybody pretty well. We're still working on this a little bit. But we do a good job of offering grace to everyone. The hottest computer game right now is called Elden Ring, and it's really tough. I heard an amen on that. But there are safe spots in the game, and the safe spots are called sites of grace, and they're in churches. We're good at potlucks, donuts on Sunday morning, pizza for the youth group. We're good at tending to heartbreaks and breakups. We're even willing to face justice and issues long before they become popular. And all this would be good enough to be good at all these things, and we are. We are good about being good. But there is one little thing. Every now and again, and never, never on our timetable, God does something new. So new, so outside the boundaries of what we expect, that we have to let go of all the good things we're doing in order to embrace the new thing that God is doing. If we keep doing the good, the things we've already learned how to do, if we keep on being good, we end up being the enemy of God's new thing. And I know it goes against the grain. I know if something is good and if it's right, we just want to keep doing it. But we have to let it go. The central story of the Old Testament is that God frees Israel from slavery, rescues them from the Egyptian army, moves across the desert, feeding them along the way, and taking them to a new home. The trip was filled with tragedy and failure, but miracle upon miracle as well. And it forms the core of the Jewish faith. It is as central to their faith as resurrection is to ours. The time in the desert was their spiritual rebirth. But in today's passage from Isaiah, Isaiah calls Israel to give up that story, Forget about the former things. Let them go. Instead of sand and no water, there will be rivers of water. Instead of wild beasts, there will be animal guides. Instead of dangers, there will be great feasts. And Isaiah says, watch for it. Listen for it. God is about to do something new. Decades ago, before starting the ministry journey, I wrote poetry. And I wrote a poem called God Through the Outhouse Window. It wasn't very good. But the concept I've learned was great. We were on a family trip in Colorado, camping in a national forest, and it was fairly primitive. Can I say that my mom wasn't particularly pleased with Dad? In the outhouse, there was one window, high up, just a narrow strip, covered with mesh. And through it, you could see part of a pine tree. And I had an epiphany. Christ is that branch, that piece of the tree of life that comes from God. And God sends the wind to knock over the outhouse in hopes that when we rebuild it, we will rebuild it with a bigger window. God is about to do something new, hoping that we will build a bigger picture so that we can see more of God. God's new thing is not simply the strength to keep on going in tough situations. Hang in there. God isn't going to give you more than what you can handle. Persevere. You're tougher than you look. If you're going through hell, keep on going. We've all heard variations of these. But God's new thing isn't like this at all. It's not a way that we manage our burdens or that we ease our burdens. God's new thing comes as a total shift in values. I imagine it would be like Donald Trump giving up all his money and all his property and his golf clubs and entering a monastery. That's a shift in core values. Or maybe it would be Exxon getting out of the oil business and getting in the climate business. You can think of all different kinds of ways that we would have a radical shift. That's what God's new thing is. 30 years ago, there was a little movie came out called Searching for Bobby Fischer. It's about a 10-year-old boy who becomes a grandmaster, the youngest grandmaster ever in the United States. And it opens at a birthday party in a park, and the kids are playing hide and seek, and this boy runs behind a bush and kneels down so nobody can see him, and he looks down, and on the ground, he sees something, and he picks it up, and it's a wooden horse. And as he's looking at it, he lifts his vision, and he sees through the bush to a group of men playing speed chess. And in that moment, even though he doesn't know the name of that piece that's a knight, he knows how to play chess. And his whole world shifts into a world of chess. In that moment, everything changes. Behold, says the Lord, I'm doing something new. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Today's gospel lesson is one of the very few stories that's in every single gospel. The gospel writers thought it was important, critical even. And in order to make sense of it, we need to know three things. That in the Jewish tradition of the time, a person who died needed to be buried within 24 hours. And there were rituals that you did in that 24 hours, including cleaning the body and using perfume. Second great thing that we need to know is that there is a Jewish tradition of taking care of the poor. The Torah is full of commandments, even leaving crops behind so you wouldn't harvest everything so that the poor would be able to have food. And third, the host was always to provide water to wash one's hands and one's feet. Not just for cleanliness, but to say you are a guest, you are part of the household, you are part of the family. And these were divine rules, biblical covenants. They'd been in force for 1,000 years. And Jesus changes everything. He sees what the woman Mary is doing isn't about welcoming him or about making him part of the family. She was getting ready for his death on a cross. And he was being washed in those oils that you do as part of the preparation of death. The disciples don't see that, they don't get it, and they start complaining. Shouldn't have used the oil, it was too expensive. I suppose it'd be sort of like saying you don't need a Rolex if you have a Timex. But Jesus says, leave her alone. You'll always have the poor. You won't always have me. And he wasn't trying to overturn the commandments or reverse things, but he was saying God creates special moments. God is about doing something radically different. Don't miss the moment that God breaks in. As I said at the beginning, Bishop Sano was a great thinker, and he would always be thinking about new possibilities. And the downside of that approach is that sometimes you were so busy thinking about things that you would miss the moment. When I was a pastor at Lakewood Methodist, he was in the moment. We invited him to celebrate with us on a church anniversary, and he accepted, and he preached a sermon, and he started it this way. He said, I've been as bishop to many church anniversaries. I've been to 150th and 100th and 50th and 25th and 10th, but I have never been to a 56th church anniversary. What church celebrates 56 years of ministry? Who invites a bishop to 56 years of church ministry? And then I looked down to see who the pastor at Lakewood Methodist was, and it made perfect sense. The congregation and myself lost it. He was totally in the moment. And I think that's what our call is, that we always have to be watching for the moment that God breaks in, where the miracle happens, where the game changes, where there's an epiphany. It isn't always about doing good and being good and being right and doing right. Sometimes it's about hearing the new thing that God is doing. Today we have communion. Ordinary bread and juice, you've probably all had it before. But I have been serving at enough communions to know that while for most of us, communion is the same every time, in every communion, there is someone for whom it is a special moment. Whether it is a moment of forgiveness or transformation or starting over or a reaffirmation, behold, God is doing something new. Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you embrace it? Amen.